In the previous episode of the Best Podcast in Baseball, Kevin Wheeler of Camel Wax and I talked about the trade deadline and what could shove the Cardinals out of the middle ground. If not the standings, then could it be the offers? That led to a conversation about not just the current situation with the trade deadline, but how it could influence the future. We get to the crux of it, and that is the question of, given all this time, 4 months of quote-unquote runway, who is in Himes' core when it comes to competing? Who has defined themselves as a player that when it comes time for the Heim Bloom era to make a push for a division title, a pennant, maybe even a championship, has said through this season, they're in that core? Is the answer JJ Weatherholt, or is it more? We talk about it in a brand new Best Podcast in Baseball. You know the drill. Cue the music. Hello, everybody, and welcome to a continuation of the Best Podcast in Baseball, brought to you by Closet by Design of St. Louis. Really, no introductions are necessary. You know me, I'm Derek Gould. You know the person I've been talking to, KMOX is 104.1 FM's Kevin Wheeler. Where we left off was the simple question of, all right, what players don't the Cardinals have enough information on? What Cardinals, what prospects, what young players who they wanted to give this runway to, do they not know enough about yet 4 months into the season that they're going to learn more about with 2 months left in the season? And if the answer might shape what they do at the trade deadline, or it might indicate what's ahead in the offseason, we pick up the conversation right about where we left off in the previous Best Podcast in Baseball. Here we go. Well, what have they missed? I'm really fascinated by this. Like, if you're making a list of guys who they don't have a good read on right now, how long is that list?
Well, I mean, McGreevy's one.
Because I don't know, man. I kind of know what he's capable of.
Do we really know based on 8 starts? I mean, like, you want to know about a guy. You got to see if he can. You got to see if he can make 30 starts in the big leagues, and what's he going to give you? Is he a 5-inning guy? Is he a 6-inning guy? Do teams adjust to what he does? Does he adjust back?
All right,
that's hard to do in spot starts.
No, I hear you, but it's not like he's been awful at AAA. I mean,
but AAA is not the same thing.
Totally agree, but to his credit, he has been dealt a terrible deck this season.
I agree, but again,
and he is plowed through AAA.
I get it.
He hasn't gone back, and
but those aren't major league hitters.
I'm not saying that they are. I'm like, look, we know a lot about Michael McGreevy at this point.
What we don't know, though, is what happens when teams see him on the regular. Because it's always a spot start here and a spot start there, and he's not facing anybody twice, and he's faced the Rockies twice.
That's fair. And what happens when he has the stretch like Pallante does, where balls in play start going through.
Right, and you can't find that out until you let him do it.
No, totally.
And now you're going to go into this stretch where what's he got? 8-9 more starts? So at best, we're going to have maybe 60% of a season's worth of results.
Okay.
And all of that because we wouldn't move on from a couple of guys that keep getting their brains beaten in.
Okay.
And
that's all fair.
And in case of one guy, it's been happening since the start of 2023.
Go ahead, say the name.
Well, it's Miles Michaelis.
Yeah.
I mean, if anything you look up, he's in the bottom 5 in baseball amongst qualified starters in barrels allowed, hard hits allowed, ERA, fielding independent ERA, expected ERA, like you name it, it's been bad for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
And I get it, right? You get the starts like you get in game 2 against the Padres, and you're like, see, that's the guy. Well, yeah, but it can't just automatically turn on and off. Like, it can't be good one day and then terrible another day and then mediocre. And then, like, that's the sum total is what matters, not just any one example of what you like or don't like.
No, I know, but it's the salary. I mean, that's the number making the choice.
All right, but again, how much are you costing yourself when you're losing games and losing fans because you're losing games?
Yeah. No, welcome to the Cardinals dilemma.
Right. This is kind of that, and it's that stuck in the middle. It's like,
when they're risk
master, are we going to serve? Are we going to play the contract, or are we going to play the better player?
Right. So on that list of players who you don't know enough of is McGreevy.
McGreevy's one. I would also argue Gorman, because for the first 2 months there was, quote, no room to play him. And that's what we were told.
Well, it doesn't, right? Yeah, I know. Okay. All right.
We were told, I want to get him in there, but we can't. It's, you know, we can't. Well, yeah, you can, but you just have to tell people they're going to take days off.
Oh, yeah. That's
I forgot
what your solution was.
Some of these guys need days. Nolan Arenado needs days off. He's not young.
Right.
He's physically. And now we know he's been dealing with physical problems. We just find out in the middle of a broadcast the other day that Mason Wynn's been dealing with a bad knee in addition to his chronically bad back. And you don't want to give those guys days off.
Well, they got two guys with bad backs. Three.
I know. Like this is, but this is the thing. So you had all this lead up, and this is what is bizarre to me.
Okay.
So they spent this whole season. We're going to protect our rotation. We're going to make sure that we're working in a sixth starter here and there. We're going to give them extra days every time we can. Mm-hmm. But we give no consideration for the first 3 months of the year to doing that with position players. None. Ones with some previous problems that we've known about.
I don't want to be forced into. Okay, you bring up a great point, and I think it is an essential criticism. I will offer some background to it, and it's not going to decrease the level of criticism. It's just going to
offer perspective. Yeah.
No, it's just going to reframe it.
Okay,
all right. The Cardinals started the year with that notion in mind that you just described. All right, get Mason some time off, less than getting Arenado some time off, and then also getting Contreras some time off. They factored into that days at DH. They were really thinking that Gorman would get starts at third on days that Nolan was a DH, right? Okay.
Yep.
Which totally makes sense. That factors in. They also thought that Wilson would get more time at DH, freeing up first base for Alec Burleson. And they expected Ivan Herrera to be the catcher. And then sometimes DH, you know, on other days, right? And you could see how the schematic would all work to get plenty of at-bats. Fewer for Gorman, granted. But this all boils down to is a few elements. One, the Cardinals don't have a whole lot of confidence in starting guys in center field that would free up left field for another player. So you're not seeing Newt Barr in center field to free up that time for, say, Donovan in left and Gorman in second. You're seeing a lot of Victor Scott in center field. Completely understand that's part of this factor. The other part is Nolan Arenado hasn't exactly hit like a DH, but he has played superb defense at third. And then the other part of it is they stopped wanting to see Herrera at catcher. And now you have this whole limitation going. So their view of a couple guys defensively and the priority that they put on defensive numbers or proficiency at those positions, understandable at catcher, started to shape what they could do elsewhere in the lineup. And, oh, by the way, they also then, you know, after about May, started struggling offensively and started adjusting things, and Herrera was missing, and they lost all those games against left-handed starters and on and on and on and on and on. And so you have these things, I'll just use it, you have these things conspiring against the plan that they did want to have that exactly describes what you're saying. Okay, so now that's just it. It doesn't change the level of criticism, but it merely, I hope it adjusts it from, why didn't they plan for this? They did. Why didn't they find an alternative when that plan didn't work out? Or why can't they get the guys better defensively?
Or why can't they realize that defense only matters when you score enough runs?
Right, fair.
I mean, you have a pitching staff that's not going to hold down, not run suppression defense, a pitching staff. You're going to have to, and again, it's a balance. It's never, everything is always the same thing. And that's my biggest criticism, is either the lack of willingness or ability to adapt on the fly when circumstances change. Right. And I've probably been saying that for 3 years, right, where you're like, okay, so the initial plan's not happening. Okay, adapt. Because it changed because of a good thing in one way, that Herrera is an amazing hitter.
Right.
So it changed because of that. It doesn't change the fact, though, that if you go back and look at April, Lars Nootbaar had 100 at-bats, and Wilson Contreras had 99, Donovan 98, Arenado 92, Jordan Walker, who, by the way, no problem with any of this with Walker because he's one of the runway guys.
Yeah.
But like you've got those guys. That's just April. And in May, Newt Barr again, 108 at bats. Donovan, 99. Wynn, 97. Arenado, 95. And then you get to June, and now we start to have a couple of injuries here and there. But Mason Wynn, still 111 at bats in June. Did not get any time off. Nolan Arenado, 102 at bats in June. Mm-hmm. So there are all these guys. And I keep in mind, too, that like Newt Barr, you played him like he's a horse. He's always hurt every year. Maybe part of the plan should have been he's not going to play that much.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to try to keep him healthy the same way we try to keep Sonny Gray healthy.
Yeah, it's all fair. It's all fair.
It's maddening because I don't think it's easy to do.
It's not, especially with the pressure of trying to win and trying to get the best lineup.
But
out
in
there,
the process, you buried a 24-year-old who hit 27 home runs 2 years ago. In the process, you buried a guy for 2 months who was one of your runway guys, one of the guys you need to find out about. Yeah. Now, thankfully, when he got opportunities later, he started to do something with it, but wouldn't you have to say he's still an incomplete?
Or would you say, like, look, he is a complete, and you can't find time for him? You made your call.
I don't think so.
I think we're saying the same thing. Is like, look, if you cannot make time, it's the same thing with Randy Arozarena, right? If you cannot make time to play him, then you have already made the decision. You are proactively limiting his production by your decision not to play him. So you've made your call. He doesn't have a fit here. If he can't start here, when will he ever?
Well, and I mean, made the point that is, decision. Though, that they act like the phrasing is we can't. You can. Just do it. You control.
No, I think we're saying the same thing.
You got to get over the fetish for the glove. You have to. You can't have four glove-only guys. You can't. Right. I don't care how good Pahe's defense is or Scott's defense or Wynn's defense or Arenado's defense. You can't have four everyday spots that don't
Interesting.
Hit.
Okay.
You can't All do right. it. Name me a good team that's like that.
I won't.
Or if you do have something similar, let's say the Dodgers, the bottom part of their lineup can stink sometimes. You have three MVP candidates at the top. Right. This is my point.
Jinx.
So it's bizarre to me that, in a world where everybody in the baseball industry values and pays offense over defense, everybody, nobody gets paid in free agency because they can catch baseballs. They get paid to hit. They get paid to put up numbers. But this team still puts the glove over the bat too many times.
All right, so I asked you for the short list for me is Jordan Walker. I'm not sure the Cardinals know what.
Yeah, I don't
he
think
is.
We have no.
And no. And I'm starting to think that, you know, I just don't know if they ever will. I don't know where this fits. And that brings me to like where I'd like to kind of summarize and bring it all together, Kevin.
Yep.
Is we began by asking buy or sell at the trade deadline. And I want to conclude by saying, is this trade deadline merely going to be prelude to a complete overhaul? Like, at what point in time, and this is key, because at what point in time, Oliver Marmol said in spring training, this is a failure of a year if we leave without having proper evaluations on a group of players.
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. Yeah. That seems honest and direct and entirely true, because you have a new front office coming in. At what point in time does the front office look at this group of young players and go, that is a group of young players that is going to be perfect for a team that hovers around 500? Or that is a group of young players that we haven't seen enough of, but maybe the fact that we haven't seen enough of is the answer itself, and we don't want to see more of.
Yeah.
I mean, could the trade deadline not be a buy or sell, but be prelude to an overhaul?
Could be. I would add another variable to that, because I think I agree with everything you're saying there.
Because who of these guys is here 3 years from now?
I don't know, but here's part of the problem, though.
McGreevy.
This underscores what happens when you don't have elite players. You don't have elite guys that allow for imperfect, flawed players to learn and grow into something. And that's what it's going to. Now, you have enough good players to be a 500-ish team, right? To be a little over 500 most of the year. Yeah. That's fine.
Maybe that's like, what they want.
What's that?
Maybe that's what they want.
What, to just be over 500?
Yeah.
I mean, if that's what they want, then they're not going to have a very happy fan base, and they're not going to be filling those seats up.
Yeah, but they're doing great with their projections.
I get it, but like you're not going to get back to where you want to be. Although TV numbers are good this year.
They're fine. Yeah. Streaming's okay. And but like, you know, that's fine. People aren't coming out to the ballpark, and part of that is the ballpark. Like they're working on that too. They need to change the atmosphere of the ballpark.
It's not any different a ballpark than it was 5 years ago.
I'm not saying it is. It's just that fewer people are wanting to go to it.
Because the team's not compelling.
I don't know, man. I'm fortunate to go to some of these other ballparks. They're doing things. You know, 5 years ago, you didn't have as much of an emphasis on entertainment at the ballpark as you do now.
I'm just
saying bluntly. And, you know, obviously the Dodgers is a scene.
But they're also amazing.
Because they're good. Like I said, it's a scene. But the Padres are also good, but they also create a tremendous atmosphere that is, you know, it feels like what it was at peak Cardinal time. But they're doing it in a modern way, and that's where the Cardinals want to get.
This is the hard part for me, though, because it's also in a cool city where people like to hang out and they want to spend their time, and there's an
entertainment. So where were they 20 years ago?
No, they didn't have any of that. They didn't have this ballpark. They didn't have Fernando Tatis Jr. and Manny Machado.
Well, that's fair. You know,
they've got the combination of exciting star players.
Yeah.
They've got a city that people want to be in, not a city that people want to avoid.
Oh boy.
I think it's a hard comp because it's more than that.
I wasn't trying to make the comp, and I apologize if I didn't articulate it well enough. I was talking about specifically in the ballpark. Just in the ballpark.
Sure. And it matters, but I think the quality of players and the quality of the team matter.
Absolutely.
And so does, like, look at Colorado. They draw, but they draw why? Because it's in the middle of a really cool area that people like to hang out in.
No, they also draw because they turned a whole deck into a singles bar.
Sure.
They draw because they have great weather and all that stuff.
Who in St. Louis is going to come from Wentzville or Chesterfield to do that downtown?
I don't know, but...
But Denver's different.
You're totally missing my point, Kevin. I'm not saying that they need to do what Denver did. They need to do whatever that is that fits this market.
Yeah.
They have to get more creative and less stuck in the history. It's fine to celebrate history, to put up the pennants, to put up the World Series championships and everything like that. But you cannot say, hey, come have a ballpark experience straight out of the 1980s. You can't do that.
I don't disagree with you, but the number one thing is you got to win.
You have to adjust it. Totally agree.
And you got to have superstars. You got to have franchise greats. You got to have star players. And they tried.
Absolutely. They
tried with Arenado. It just didn't work out.
Well, all right. So this is the crux of it is if you tell me that you don't have enough information, that's fine.
Yeah.
That definitely is what the Cardinals probably would say. But who on this? We've had 4 months of runway.
Yep.
The clock is ticking toward the trade deadline. The clock is ticking towards Heim Bloom era.
Yep.
Who right now in the Cardinals organization, who is part of the core that wins for Heim? Who's on that team? Who's a core part of the next era's winning team? Who's here right now? JJ? Weatherholt?
Weatherholt for sure. I mean, he's here for at least the next, 7 years.
Right. Herrera?
I would think so, being a rookie. I would think that he's definitely, I mean, assuming even reasonably comparable performance to what we've seen. It doesn't have to be the exact, but if it's reasonable, he's not going anywhere anytime soon.
It'll be DH or left field or first base, right?
Yeah, first base, I would hope.
Okay, so that's two. One of whom we haven't seen take a single at bat in the majors.
Yeah.
So again,
who might be the best hitter of any of the guys we've named?
Right. McGreevy.
Maybe. Maybe as the fourth starter on a team that's got three better ones.
What does it say that you don't have more answers?
It says that they haven't developed players well enough.
Is Victor Scott part of the next core?
I would say yes, because okay, even so if it's not as an three. Everyday player, he'd have a role, right? Like, so even if we find out he's not an everyday guy, he's a player that can help you. If he's a fourth outfielder, that's phenomenal.
Is Brendan Donovan?
I don't know. What are you going to pay him? That's the hard part for me on Donovan.
How soon are you going to win?
Well, that's the point, right? And do I want to pay him as he's getting into the age where decline will come?
Yeah.
If I'm not necessarily – now, if I were good – like, if this was – you're coming out of 2011, right? I'd pay him. You're in the middle of it, right? You're in the middle of that window. We're good. We need him. He's good. Boom, boom, boom. But that's a really valid question is, are you a legit contender within the next 2 years? I guess could be, but boy, you're going to need either spend some money on some high-end players, or you're going to have some quick ascensions, right? Like Weatherholt's a stud right away. Liam Doyle mm-hmm. blows through the minor leagues, you know, somehow, some way, some of your other guys, Broby and Matthews and Hentz figure out how to stay healthy.
You're talking about none of the guys who got runway this year. So well, no, what was I think this year about?
That's kind of the frustration that I have is but of the guys that we're talking about, there were only a few that actually fit the description, right? I mean, Burleson was a guy we didn't have a good picture on this year coming in.
Is he had an idea.
I don't know. I don't view him as a quote unquote core player, but I do view him as a guy that he's under control for a while. Why can't he be a good player for you? Yeah. When you're a contending team, right? I mean, I can see that.
Okay, that's four.
Maybe the interesting way to phrase this is, who are core players?
I don't. Okay,
is anyone?
You want to force me to define so that no one is.
No. I don't want to. I'm just saying. I think that's part of the question that they haven't.
And I'm
solved.
Missing the. And my point is that, like, good gravy. Stop kicking the can down the road.
Yeah.
Like, all right, you have 4 months of runway.
Yeah.
And today we are recording this on July 26th. What does it say that if you were to go to Heim Bloom and say, who from this current team are you going to build around?
Yeah.
And what is his answer?
Great question. Because, I mean, like, even a guy like Wilson, he's only got two more years, right?
Yeah.
And two more years as he's getting older.
Right.
So it's not like continued performance is guaranteed as we've seen with some other guys. Although again, some of his physical traits are different than,
I mean, it's,
guys, but that can change. You
it's
know?
Crazy I mean, that Heim's answer would be JJ Weatherholt and everyone would go, yeah, that, all right, that checks.
I you're right. It's totally crazy. And part of that is disappointment on the development of guys like Walker and Gorman and in Gorman. See, and I wonder if you have a take on this as this, we're like kind of finishing this part of the topic is.
No, we need to finish the podcast.
Yeah, I know. This is a hard thing, but like, I don't know in a lot of these cases whether to blame the team or the player.
I don't think you need to blame. I think.
But okay. You got to know what's wrong so you can fix it.
Sure. But
right?
You know what's wrong
is a player is stubborn and won't change, or is it because you didn't have enough instructors and you didn't make a positional change early enough, or you didn't have, you know, 10 coaches instead of two coaches.
I think all of that is fair and wonderful and not wonderful, but I think it's all fair and pointed and a wonderful way to look at it. However, I think the Cardinals are at a point where enough looking back, look forward. You know, that was the idea. Because when you talk about runway, no one is going reverse on a runway. That's just not happening. No one is going reverse on a runway.
On the runway. Yeah,
you're not backing up on a runway. It's all about the future because you even know who's going to lead in the future. So enough of the forensic autopsies on where they went wrong. All right. You're living with it. You can't undo that. That is set in concrete. That is what you're building off of. You cannot change the player development. You cannot change what was done with Jordan Walker. You cannot change any of that. You are dealing with the here and now and looking forward. And it is wild, absolutely wild to consider that that you can't list who the next players who will be certainly a part of a contending team.
Yeah, and one of them that you would list isn't even here. Yeah. Yeah, the two.
And he was not on the runway.
Right.
He's still in pilot school.
Yeah. And the two you would list, of the two you would list, one is a DH for the moment and the other one's not here. The guys that you would say for sure based on contract control.
Would you say Mason Wynn is for sure?
No, I wouldn't say for sure. I would say most likely. I would say most likely given age, team control, all of that stuff.
That's wild. All right.
I mean, like, because again, the hard part is this, the reason I brought up the past, not to revisit it, is you have to answer the question. Yep. Can we fix this? Can we fix Jordan Walker? Can we fix Nolan Gorman? Can we fix Mason Wynn? Because if your answer on that is yes or maybe, then you don't necessarily move on. If your answer is I don't think so, then we're talking about that wholesale change that you brought up. Like, is it time to just clear the deck?
That is a wild question for the Cardinals to face as the trade deadline arrives and you start to think, man, this might just be a hint of a very busy winter for Chaim Bloom, and it's not one that would be acquiring players or free agency or building. It would be acquiring prospects. It would be about setting the clock for a future point because they don't think the contenders are here now. That's wild.
And it's fascinating to me, too, that it's this way, but you still win more games than you lose. And so that means to me, it's you're not far away.
Okay.
Because there are some of these guys that we could move out and you could come back next year without them and still have the same record. Right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of funny. It's like it's not a total disaster, but again, it's just messy. It's just muddy. It's not clear. And I was hoping to have more clarity at the end of this year. And in a few cases we do, right? But not enough. Not enough to see a clear path forward, like do this and this and this, and you're back to where you want to be.
Back in 2019, just to toot my own horn, I wrote an essay for Baseball Prospectus that said the Cardinals were in the worst possible place for a major league franchise. They were stuck in the middle.
Oh, my goodness. So it's been 5 years.
It's 6 years later.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the reality, right? Like, it's frustrating because it's neither or. I know some fans would rather just blow it all up and then just write off any hope for a couple years. And that is in itself kind of easing of tension. Right. I also sometimes don't come back from those things. And I understand that I'd rather watch a team that's at least close, you know, and they're not that far. The problem is what they need are the hardest things to get. They need stars.
Yeah.
And they're either really expensive or you got to make them yourself. And the previous group has not been able to make them themselves for a long time now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, even assuming Herrera's the real deal, he'd be the first real deal hitter since what? Matt Carpenter. You know, you and I, since we Matt talked Carpenter. About that last time. Yeah. I mean, that's a long time ago.
Yeah.
So we'll see. But you get one way or the other, it's going to be raising I think the sum total of the roster. Mm-hmm. is quote unquote fine. I think your top end of the roster is too thin. If you had a real top end of the roster, this is easily a 93-94 win team. But you don't. I don't think you lack in depth or competent major league players. I don't think we're sweating Lars Nootbaar if you have an Albert Pujols. I don't think we're sweating guys that hit 5, 6, 7, and 8 if the guys that hit 1, 2, 3, 4 are or at least a couple of them are what we got to see when this team was that level. Mm-hmm. When you had Berkman and Beltran and Pujols and, you know, obviously before that you had Edmonds and Rolen and all those guys. I'd be curious I haven't done it, but I would wonder if you could look at the bottom of the roster in those days, mm-hmm. compare it to the bottom of the roster now and probably see a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
But when the top of the roster is not good enough, well, then we have to put more on the bottom, and typically that's a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, you're always a star in my book. You bat towards the top of the lineup.
I'm the ultimate back of the roster guy, let's be honest.
I think you bat top of the lineup for BPIB.
I'll tell you this. I can draw a walk. I can draw a walk.
You can draw a walk. I can just draw. That's my skill. I can draw. Kevin, thank you very much for this. I think we've left people with more questions than answers.
I feel like I have more questions than answers right now.
And in some ways, that's so fitting.
It is. It's exactly like, right.
It's so fitting.
I think it is an annoying and frustrating outcome, but I think it's the reality.
I think it is the right outcome to adequately represent the club we cover.
Yes.
I think we did well.
I think
we had an allegorical podcast.
You said at the beginning it wasn't going to make anybody happy, and it's not going to, but it's just kind of the reality of it. It's a mess, and it's not a disaster, but it is messy and unclear.
Yeah. Yep. Middling.
Hopefully Heim's got a better set of glasses than we do, and he sees a better way.
Okay.
I'm just saying, I hope.
Yeah. Man, 4 months without a whole lot of answers. That's fun.
That, I got to tell you, that is really scary because.
I mean, the answer you got is that Eric Fetty isn't on the rotation.
Well, right. I think you're getting answers. And also, you know, are we worried about Sonny Gray?
No.
Like, that's not for today. Just saying, like, going into next year, he's making $35 million next year. I hope this isn't, like, continuing. This whole short start, extra rest, then blow-ups and things like that. I mean, that's a lot of money for a guy that's doing that.
Yeah, that sounds like an off-season topic.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Just more of the more of what we've learned, but not necessarily in the way that we wanted to learn it. Although I will say this. I forgot. Last thing. I think we learned Matthew Liberatore is a real major league pitcher, like starter.
So I wondered if you'd bring him up as part of the core.
I mean, I don't know, but yeah, in some way, because he's a starter. I don't know if he's a 2 or 3 or 4 or 5, but any of those are valuable when you're not making a lot of money.
I'm glad you did. I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Way to come through at the buzzer. That is KMOX's 104.1 FM. Kevin Wheeler, you can listen to him weekdays during drive time on the DGS, right? Because I'm not saying DGS show.
It's just DGS, sometimes without the kind of like MLB.
Right.
Just
right.
DGS.
Always without the O.
Yeah. Yep.
And of course, you can hear him as a recurring guest on the best podcast in baseball. You can find all of the Cardinals coverage, the constant Cardinals coverage, and all of the trade deadline coverage at stltoday.com. You can find all of the constant Cardinals coverage there at stltoday.com and in the pages of the Post Dispatch. We'll have ongoing coverage. There'll be a chat Monday. There'll be lots of stuff coming. And of course, there'll be breaking news. And there's already been some news as to who they're talking to teams about. Obviously, we know the three relievers that are on teams' minds, but the Cardinals are not limiting their discussions to those three relievers, and we just explored a lot of the reasons why, either for roster clarity or for the offers they might get. The best podcast in baseball is available wherever you get your podcasts. It's available on iTunes, of course. You can rate and review. You can also subscribe. Subscriptions make sponsorships possible, and sponsorships make podcasts like this possible, where we just go on and on and on and on and on and on and talk. The best podcast in baseball is brought to you weekly by Closet by Design of St. Louis. For KMOX's great Kevin Wheeler, I'm St. Louis Post-Dispatch baseball writer Derek Gould. Talk to you soon after the deadline. Kevin, do you have 10-5 rights?
Yes, I
you
do.
Okay,
I do.
Five years of your team, 10 years. I have 10.
Ten in the market, five in the KMOX since the switch. Yeah,
yeah. So I have 10 years of service time and five. Yeah.
So I'm not going anywhere.
All right, so I can reject the trade.
Yes,
I cannot, however, avoid being DFA'd.
That's true. None of us can.